So the Rock Against Racism event that was held in London. I think to kick off, to give it a little bit of perspective, I'll read a bit from a Guardian news story about the event. On the 30th of April 1978, a crowd gathered in Victoria Park in London's East End. They had come from all over the country, 42 coaches from Glasgow, 15 from Sheffield, an entire trainload from Manchester, marching across London from Trafalgar Square to attend a special all-day concert headlined by Tom Robinson and The Clash. The day had been organised by Rock Against Racism, a grassroots political movement that had used music to campaign against the looming electoral threat of the National Front. X-Ray Spex, The Clash, Tom Robinson Band, Steel Pulse, and Patrick Fitzgerald were on the bill. So I'd heard about it from friends. Lots of people were talking about it and deciding if they were going to go or not. And I decided, yeah, I wanted to go. And the big draw for me was X-Ray Spex. Amazing. I loved X-Ray Spex, one of my favourite bands. And obviously The Clash being on the bill. But the only problem was I didn't have any money. I'd been given a couple of quid from my mum. So how I raised the rest of the money for the train, well, it's completely laughable now. But, it got me there. I scouted around for lemonade bottles to take back to the pub, because back then you were given money when you returned the bottles. And I think after asking around all the neighbours and that, I got about 20 or 30 bottles, and they were, I can't remember quite, but I think it was 2p or 2.5p you got back on them then. My dad gave me some old car batteries to take to the scrappers. And they'd pay you to take them off your hands because I think they used to get the lead out of them and things like that. Dad loaded them into a wheelbarrow, and between me and Dave Paul, we wheeled them from Manor Road in Fenny Stratford, where I was living at the time with my parents, to Goodman's Yard at the bottom of Tavistock Street in Bletchley. And I can't remember how much we got for them. I wish I could remember, because it was really hard work, and we had to keep stopping, and we kept taking it in turns to push the wheelbarrow. And in the scheme of things, probably not worth it. Just doing those few things raised enough money for the train fare. And there was a few of us meeting at Bletchley train station, and we got on. And as the train got closer to London, it became more and more packed with people that you could tell they were going to the march. And when we got to Euston and the pushing and shoving, not in an aggressive way, it was just so busy and so many people that were obviously going to the event. And I saw so many punks everywhere. I'd never seen so many, me being from small town Bletchley. And it was amazing to be amongst all of these people. And it wasn't just punks, it was people of all ages coming together. We made our way to Trafalgar Square. There was the march from Trafalgar Square to Victoria Park. And I just remember there was just, the roads were packed with people. There was hardly room to move at times. And it was just a sea of red and yellow banners and placards and badges with Rock Against Racism logo. All the way along, the streets were lined with police. I don't think anybody expected it to be such a massive event. It was crazy. Along the way, there was a few sort of pockets of NF, and they shouted a bit of abuse, and they were doing the salute. The police were keeping them separate from us on the march, but still not nice to see. There were so many of us, it was probably the busiest place I'd ever been. It was incredible. We wandered around meeting new people. People were sharing drinks and chatting, and I was just grinning the whole day. It was just so amazing. X-Ray Spex were the highlight of the day for me, being obviously, as I said before, one of my favourite bands, and of course, The Clash were great. I did manage to push my way a bit closer to the front for them and for Steel Pulse. And when I say closer, I'm still way back. It was so packed. Sadly, the sound was bad. I can't remember it being a great sound. And the main thing I could hear from X-Ray Spex was the sax and polystyrene singing. It didn't matter. It was so immersive. It was such a great feeling to be there and amongst so many people. After the event was over, we had to get back to Euston to get the train, and it took us such a long time to get out of the park and get back to Euston and on the train. For years, I still had my Rock Against Racism badge, and sadly, I don't have it anymore. That day had such an impact on me. I think over the years, I've been to lots of gigs that were, well, I suppose you could say, preaching to the converted. But on that day, there was every age group and nationality represented. There were babies in pushchairs, pensioners, and basically everybody in between. Next, we'll hear from Glenn O'Halloran, who's going to tell us about his experience of the day.
I first heard about it because I was in Rock Against Racism's central office in London. I got involved in Rock Against Racism, and I was trying to work it out, Alison. It's probably the end of 77. There were some meetings in Milton Keynes. I'd been part of the anti-apartheid movement, and there was, and that was through Trish. And then there were some meetings in Milton Keynes, anti-Nazi League meetings. That's where I first met Blake Lay, who I still record with to this day, and Paul Morgan. And they were doing something in Stantonbury School, and we talked about putting our own gigs on. Me ended up going to meet Kate and Red Saunders, and they were kind of the people behind Rock Against Racism. Can't for the life of me think where we met, but I believe it was somewhere in the... I think Red Saunders had an office in the West End somewhere. That springs to mind. I knew later they moved to Holloway Road, but so that's when I first heard about it. So I went there to kind of blag anything I could get off of them, and leaflets and stuff like that, because we wanted to put something on in Bletchley. It wasn't very Milton Keynesy, Milton Keynes at the time. It was more Bletchley. Things happened in Bletchley because there wasn't much elsewhere. There was bits going on in Wolverton, bits going on in Stony, but Bletchley was certainly, as far as gigs were concerned, Bletchley always had a great history of gigs. No matter, you know, how small it was, always great bands played Bletchley. So we went to the office. There was a German film company, I'm just sprung to mind now, who filmed us. They were so interested about what was going on in the UK, about the anti-Nazi movement. And because, you know, I mean, the reason why we wanted to put gigs on, because in Bletchley, there was National Front stickers everywhere. Every pub toilet, everywhere you went, it was National Front. Now, it probably was one bloke with a bag of stickers. But at the time, you know, the young me is like, my God, the Nazis are coming. They're going to do us over. And also, you know, my black mates were getting gobbed at gigs. Television was overtly racist. It just was. You know, that's why there was this thing. And punk came about at the same time. I think if punk hadn't come around, I quite often think Rock Against Racism would have still happened. Eric Clapton and his great speech in Birmingham, that was enough to send us all off, you know. There were these young bands making music, make brilliant music, and young reggae bands making brilliant music. It just made sense. We were there in London, and they said, one of the times I was there, because we had our gig on the 21st of April, 1978. One of the times I was there, they were talking about putting a big concert on, and they didn't have any money, and all they had was friends, and they didn't have any money. But they'd asked John Lydon if he'd be the DJ. I can remember that much, and he'd agreed to do it, and the Clash were going to play, and X-Ray Specs, who I knew. Yeah, so that's how I kind of first heard about it. And then I just think that it was part of a whole thing. The gig at Victoria Park was, I suppose it was the big beginning for a lot of people. And I spoke to a lot of friends who I know from then day, and they all talk about that day. I recall that day as being one of a huge thing that went on for a couple of years. And so many of us went from Milton Keynes, Bletchley. So many of us. Now, I remember bumping into you, Alison. And you was right at the edge of the crowd. And you were saying, we just sat down with the people from Generation X. That we were sat with Generation X. That was one of the moments of the great day. I had to go on Wikipedia to look about who played. I'm getting old. I struggle to remember, to be honest with you. I've got to say I struggle. Twiz was there. I think a lot of us from Bletchley were there. I mean, there was a lot of us talking about going there. And I don't know if we all met up at the station and went on the trail. I can't remember, to be honest. I might have already been down there and met people in Trafalgar Square, I think. There were so many people there. It was incredible. I know from going to Rock Against Racism afterwards, they never thought that many people would go. It was a shock. They thought 3,000 people, maybe. They were not expecting 20,000 people from all over the country. And I think everyone was completely shocked by it. It was the police were shocked, everybody overwhelmed. anywhere selling fast food, I think, done well that day, or maybe they didn't actually, because we were all skinned. As we got towards the East End, there were gangs of skins who were shouting abuse at us, because the East End of London was NF territory at the time. Yeah, actually, it wasn't NF territory, but there was a lot of NF there. East End of London has always been fantastic, multi-everything, you know, and still is. There were gangs, NF with their flags and stuff like that, certain areas. But also the community coming out. And as we went to Cable Street, which is the legendary Cable Street, you know, the local community, like a Jewish community, we're out there, we're looking at us odd punk people who were supporting the cause, you know. And as we got to Victoria River, for some reason, everyone started running. I remember that thing where we were all getting across the road and stopping the traffic. Everyone started running towards the park. It was, I think it was just excitement. I don't think any of us had ever, I've been going to festivals since I was 14. But it was this thing, everyone started running towards the park to get to the stage to see the bands, to see X-Ray Specs and stuff like that. So I kind of remember that. I'm thinking back to Twiz. I think Brent went, Brother Brent. Blake Lay, for sure. He remembers it. I go see Blake in New York. He comes over as well. And he said that was an absolute moment in his life. So Blake and Paul Morgan, who's a guitar builder, who played with us in the Transistors for a while, Paul. He's a guitar builder, lives in San Francisco now, and he has really fond memories. So it was a really, really important thing to go to that gig, to see so many people. It was Rock Against Racism, but there are loads of other stuff going on, Alison. It was, they would say, I think today the Daily Mail would go, woke gone mad, you know, because it was gay rights, trans rights. It was everybody. Everybody was there. If you were rocking against racism, you were with everybody else. Yeah, but it was this movement and a feeling. But it was so organic. When you went to the Rock Against Racism offices, it was just wide open. Everybody was kind of in there and chatting about stuff. And yeah, you know, there was a lot of kind of left-wing politics, obviously. Socialist Workers Party and the Communist Party and stuff like that, which I was really kind of not really into, really. I was more into that. The rights thing has always been my thing. In fact, that's what I do now. I do human rights now. It's my main job. And in fact, thinking about it probably led me, these events led me to what I do now. I never let go of it. It kind of stayed with me. But I would be lying to say it was because of Victoria Park, because of X-Ray Specs, because of polystyrene braces, I chose a different path in my life. I can't say that, but definitely part of it. And a big part of my friends' lives. I was doing in West Bletchley, I kind of hassled everyone to go. So I think a few people jumped the trains. And I think a couple of people got nicked on the way back jumping the trains, actually. The sound wasn't very good. The sound was dreadful. Because I don't think they put a PA in for 20,000 people. I think they put a PA in for the corner of the street. And I think the people that were doing the PA kind of did it for nothing. And so they made no effort. And they certainly weren't up to, this is musician gleam kicking in here. So they weren't sort of up to the way to mix some bands. The Clash had a good sound. What I remember, well, X-Ray Specs I loved. And I used to go and see X-Ray Specs. I don't know if they opened up. But I seem to think they might have opened up. I'm not too sure. But they were Oh Bondage Up Yours and everyone going mental. Everybody jumping up and down and the days of pogoing. But it was quite funny, actually. I was thinking about this earlier on about pogoing. Everyone kind of, you'd pogo and you jumped back. You wouldn't hurt anyone, though. You know, you'd all be, you know, we'd all be leaping around, but we'd be kind of quite civil the way we pogoed. And you couldn't pogo too much because it was on the grass and it was April, a bit damp. But yeah, I remember polystyrene. Obviously, the Clash were fantastic. Strummer. Hero, just brilliant. Yeah. I remember being quite disappointed with Mick Jones because he was going for his Jimmy Page era and he had long hair. And I hadn't seen Mick for ages. And he'd grown this long hair and looked a bit Jimmy Page. I was quite disappointed as a short-haired person, quite upsetting for me, but I'll forgive him because they played brilliantly. Jimmy Percy coming on stage. In them days, everybody kind of spoke. So, but Jimmy Percy had this horrible following of British movement, which were like the National Front on steroids. So you could never go and see Sham 69 because there'd be all these British movement fascists basically there. But Jimmy Percy coming on stage and singing with The Clash was his way of saying, I'm not like you guys, you know. I'm like these guys I'm on stage with. And Tom Robinson as well. And Tom was always... he's still rocking now, Tom Robinson. Yeah, and Tom Robinson being great as well. Getting the crowd to sing If You're Glad to Be Gay, which I thought was quite fantastic, that they actually got everyone to sing that. I thought that was just fantastic on the day. And it was kind of over with so quickly. That's what I remember. I thought, was that it? I mean, in them days, people didn't play long sets anyway. It was half hour, 45-minute sets. As it is, people would come on, do half a dozen numbers and clear off. And we had a conversation before, didn't we, Alison? And it was Steel Pulse who played there. So they had their track, The National Front, and Steel Pulse playing there and being brilliant. And that fantastic thing about punk rock and reggae, totally different styles of music. And yet there was a crossover. I mean, Bob Marley's there's a B-side, Bob Marley B-side called Punky Reggae Party, where he lists all the punk bands. And that, because he was living in London at the time and he knew what was going on and what the youngsters were buying his records were also buying Clash records, you know. So I think Coming Home and It Carrying On, it was a great thing. Transistors, I think we did three or four. In fact, every gig we did became a Rock Against Racism gig. And then we became the counterparts. It was the same thing. We always had that thing. My music and what I worked on in the future has always come that. But I think we did maybe three or four Rock Against Racism gigs where we would flog a few badges and try and get a good mixture of musicians and try and get people on board. I don't think we ever did a gig to earn money for us. We were always doing it for the cause. Face it, the money was so little, we might as well give it away anyway, do the gigs anyway for free. So I think maybe we did three Rock Against Racism gigs, I think through 78, and then we stopped being the Transistors and become another band, mainly because we couldn't get any gigs because everyone banned us. So we charged on money and got Howard in. And... So it continued and to this very day. I don't like nostalgia, I've got to say. I'm not one for nostalgia. I've always thought my thing is always moving forward, but I do love listening to the music of that time. It means a lot to me. The punk band in Milton Keynes I really like, and I would say they had a punk ethos, is Code of Rushing. I think Code of Rushing, I go and see them and I kind of think, yeah, they got the attitude. I know it's thrashing guitars and stuff like that, but they've got this kind of breaking the rules, and the lyrics are there. And in fact, I saw them last week and they did a song called Cable Street, and I was like, yeah, brilliant.
Now we'll hear from Richard Arridge. I discovered Richard as I was scrolling through the internet looking for photos of the day. I came across some of his pictures and contacted him to ask his permission to use some of them. He kindly agreed that I could, and that he would chat with me about events of the day as well.
Okay, well, I was a student, University of Kent at Canterbury. And in fact, I was doing something called English with African and Caribbean Studies. So I was quite tuned into what was going on with the Caribbean culture. I mean, reggae was big around then. As a student, I was studying the literature of the Caribbean and Africa, and it was a lot of things that are sort of going on. And I was involved politically with something called, there was a neutron bomb. I don't know if you remember this. I was involved with it. We restarted CND to sort of raise awareness of this new bomb that had been developed, which is going to just destroy people and not buildings. And I don't know I can't really remember how I found out about Rock Against Racism. I don't know whether I was thinking about this. There was a band called Black Slate. I don't know if they were a reggae band. It was more whether they actually played a Rock Against Racism gig in Canterbury at the Student Union. I don't think so. I think it was just sort of generally known, you know, this sort of Eric Clapton thing and... I think it was just known among students, you know, because it's sort of, you know, they're fairly politically aware and stuff. So I'm afraid I can't exactly remember why I became aware of it, but I did. You know, it seemed important to me, as I said, because I was, you know, aware of that kind of thing, and I was doing this thing which involved studying African and Caribbean literature and stuff, yeah. I was fairly, you know, aware of these things. I was concerned about that. My father had grown up in South Africa. He left South Africa, but his parents were still there. So we were, as a family, quite... you know, aware of apartheid and anti-apartheid, but, you know, I mean, in the family it was a division because his parents were quite happy with it, you know. So, I mean, the whole thing was, yeah, I was kind of aware of it and the civil rights thing in the States. I mean, it was a big, I mean, at the time, it was very vibrant kind of scene going on, you know, about all sorts of things, yeah. So, should have prepared this better. But anyway, yes, that's where we were aware of it. And I went up, I met some friends who came up from Sussex University. And my brother came up from Oxford. He was still at school with a friend of his. We all met up in London. I came up from Canterbury. My friends came up from Brighton and Oxford. So we all met in London. Can't remember how we got up there. And I can't remember who I went with from Kent. I know I met people from Sussex there, a couple from some old friends from Sussex, my brother and his friends. I remember being into Trafalgar Square, yeah. And what's a big coincidence is somebody else contacted me the day before yesterday, who's written a book about the whole Rock Against Racism thing. He wants to use one of those photos as the cover. Well, yeah, I mean, those photos have done very well. They're very popular. There was a film made in Canada, and again, I don't know what it was about. Maybe it's called Rock and Revolution or something. And they wanted those negatives, and I sent them. In the end, they didn't use them. And then, as I said, it was there's a book called Memories of a Free Festival. They put some in there by Sam Nee some years ago. So those photos, it's all due to Dave and his website in Australia, you know. So, I mean, you know, I got in touch with him at the beginning of the internet. I mean, mutual love of music. So for about 26 years, you know, he put up a site about festivals and I contributed things and there you go, yeah. I take a lot of pictures. I take far too many pictures. I'm trying to find the negatives is impossible. I fear there may be in England, but yeah, I do take a lot of photos, yeah. I didn't go up especially just to take photos. I didn't go up as a photographer. I went up to take part in the events, to join the march and to see some good bands at the end of it. Mm. I mean, again, that's kind of vague as game because I think once I met up with my friends, we were quite a long way away. Remember X-Ray Specs? I mean, I come from Steel Pulse, Tom Robinson Band, and then The Clash, obviously. You know, I mean, they were all good, but it was the event, really. It was a very nice event. I found it very relaxed, very... I didn't find any sort of... problems or aggro from anybody, you know, people from the sidelines or anything. The march seemed to be very... There was some bands on trucks, weren't there? I've got a picture of a steel band, I think, on a truck, like, you know, the carnival, I think on the march, I believe, yeah. I couldn't pin down the music, really. I mean, it was enjoyable. Yeah, I mean, there was those four bands I remember. I mean, yes, there were the police, weren't there? Yes, there was a police presence at certain points, yeah. I think I was happy to see my friends from Sussex. I hadn't seen them for a long time. You know, I don't remember anything unpleasant at all, really. I don't know, maybe I just avoided it. Yeah, there may well have been NF people chanting, I don't know. Yeah, there were some people. I've got some photos of some guys, yeah, with sort of blue Mohicans and people with lots of buttons, you know, badges, rather, lots of badges and things, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was great. It was very pleasant. I mean, I wish I remembered more about it. I've got all these photos. This is a recording or a film. I think there's a sort of Clash film, I think, with some of the Clash's performance on a film somewhere. Because as I said, I saw Patti Smith and the Stranglers. That's one of the best gigs I ever saw, I thought, at the Hammersmith Odeon. Great fun. And so Patti Smith was terrific. And she just brought out Horses, that great album. That was very punk. And it was, I don't know if that was really punk, but it was certainly a groundbreaking thing from listening to, I don't know, I was listening to J.J. Cale or something, you know, I mean, I was listening to fairly laid back. Joni Mitchell was, and something, you know, and so it was a very big change. And but she was great, a lot of energy. I don't know if you call that punk, I don't know. Well, do you remember Eddie and the Hot Rods? I bought one of their singles, I think it was called Teenage Obsession or Depression or something. And a lot of energy there, you know, which kind of what was attractive, yeah. Of this very laid back stuff, yeah, Stone laid back stuff was quite energetic, yeah. I was doing this degree in Africa and Caribbean studies, which was very new. It was the first year they'd run it in a British university. And Jamaica is suddenly sort of, I think they got independence early in the 70s. I don't know. There's a film called Fire in Babylon, which I recommend about, even if you don't like cricket, it's just really good feeling about it. It's like the underdogs win and the West Indies, you know, they become this great, great cricket team having been sort of despised by the Aussies and the Brits and everybody. And that's Jamaica that period was really vibrant. Obviously Bob Marley, that era, you know, and reggae. And perhaps more than punk, I think reggae just sort of, that's because it was a little less aggressive. I mean, punk could be a bit frightening, some of them. Well, maybe just for me, because I'm very middle class, you know, so like. but yeah, the reggae thing I really got into as well, yeah. So that was another side of it, wasn't it? And Steel Pulse played their gigs there, didn't they? still hit pretty good. Like Eric Clapton had a big hit, didn't he, with I Shot the Sheriff, you know? I mean, that was a, you know, I mean, why? I just didn't understand it. It just seemed like, do you understand where you're getting this from? You're a multimillionaire. You got it on the backs of these people, you know, even if you just show a little bit of gratitude. It was just insane. Yeah, and I think it was a very valid movement, and I think it made a lot of progress. I mean, this book, I'll send you a link when he brings it out. It's the history of the anti-Nazi League and things. I mean, he's very much, I think he's very left-wing, and he's been still doing it, but, you know, he's still, probably there's a lot of research he's done. He knows a lot more about it than I do, certainly.
Now we'll have a few words from Paul Welford, known as Twiz to some.
There's an omnipresent feeling of danger in the air, that we were doing something really important and radical. That's what I remember. I remember X-Ray Specs. I used to love X-Ray Specs. And The Clash, obviously. But did Tom Robinson Band play as well? Yeah. And Jimmy Percy, who I never did like, did much. Vaguely, I remember the weather was overcast, wasn't it, I think, and we were sort of a little bundle, weren't we? We all used to get on at Bletchley as a crowd, and we all fairly stuck together, didn't we? That wasn't the day that Paul got arrested, was it? Something to do with the railway ticket. And Grant was involved, but Grant never bought. He got him a reduced ticket, because Grant obviously worked, you know, incriminating people. And then when Paul tried to use it, he couldn't prove that he could use it, and they nabbed him. So that's what it was. And I remember the kerfuffle on the way home at the gates of Euston. I think that happened quite a bit with us, because when we went down to see gigs and things, it used to be horrendous. So we always used to end up in Trafalgar Square for some reason. I know Victoria, what was weird about the gig, my nan, many years ago, used to live over right by the edge of Victoria Park. Weird, because I remember used to be deer in the park, but not obviously that day. But yeah, 1978, it was weird transitional time for punk was going off the boil. Because we were there in the early days, weren't we? Crikey. And I've got some pictures somewhere, which I must try and find, of me and you in the Queensway, and I've just dyed my hair. We were outside NatWest Bank, up by the concourse. And I had my sex T-shirt on, my anarchy that I gave to you, and the Viva La Rock one.